Today on the show, big upsets in the world of UFC as both McGregor and Holm are defeated.
And after being gone just 2 weeks, I'm back just in time to talk about a couple NFL greats riding off into the sunset.
Plus, our man Clem from Barstool Sports joins us to talk about what it's like to go to Latvia, as well as Brock Osweiler getting into a scrap outside of a pizza parlor. It's all coming up on the Sean and Bo Show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 92 of the Sean and Bo Show. I'm Sean O'Donnell, and he is back in the building. Bo, what's up, man?
Hi, I'm back, and now the show has officially reached a number that I'm pretty sure I will not live to see.
Zero chance.
We are now in that territory.
and it's not just me and Bo. We're also joined by our homie from Barstool Sports, Clem. Clem, how's it going, man? Thank you for joining us.
Doing good. I also don't plan on seeing 92. Very happy to say that, too. I'm going to live my life fun and happily.
Speaking of obesity, it is Tuesday. Are you having tacos?
Speaking of obesity, no. I'm trying to cut down on said obesity, so I am low-carb Clem. It's a very sensitive subject right now, Bo.
Man, I'm going to have to come see you then. I need a diet in my life. I really do. Maybe we can do a challenge or something. We'll do one.
Your boy Sean is taunting me, too, about how I can't eat tacos anymore. It's not right.
I would never do such a thing, nor would I put Bo up to ask you that question, Clem. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, man, this is the sneak attack here. We're the three-man tag team, and I'm the guy who's about to go through the plate glass window. Huh?
Now, Bo, you've been gone a couple of weeks. A few weeks ago, there was this other podcast. You know, you and I were talking about getting some like business cards, maybe some T-shirts made. So yeah. There's this other podcast that reviews podcasts.
Okay.
And I think we got just an absolutely glowing endorsement from them.
Nice.
I think maybe we take this quote, we put it on our business cards, we put it on T-shirts, and you know, we just blow the whole thing up. Listen to what the guys over at Pod Gods had to say about the Sean and Bo Show.
So if you want a sports show, it doesn't sound like shit. Well, there's the Sean and Bo Show, and that's B-O, Bo.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully we put the links so you can actually listen in the show notes, unlike they do. But yeah, I would recommend if you like sports, give it a shot.
Wow, what a ringing endorsement. If you want a sports show that doesn't sound like shit, it's the Sean and Bo Show. I could see that fitting right on a T-shirt.
That's as close to a walk-off. Mm-hmm. That I'm going to hit since my Little League days are long behind me.
Yeah, we're big time now, Bo.
Yeah.
Big time.
There we go.
Now, Clem, as we noted, writes and blogs and records videos for Barstool Sports. Barstoolsports.com is where you can go to check out all that content. And Clem, you recently got back from a little bit of a trip. Where did you go, and what was the purpose of said business trip?
Yep, I was sent to Latvia, the country of the Knicks rookie Kristaps Porzingis. I'm the Knicks writer, amongst other things, on Barstool Sports. And my boss one day just emailed me out of the blue, which I think was about a second email he's ever sent to me, and said, "Hey, I think you should go to Latvia." And I said, "Okay, that sounds good." And he's like, "All right, plan it out with Hank, who's like a 22-year-old, our video guy." He's like, "Plan it out with him, and we'll talk from there." And that was all I was left with. And I went to Latvia.
That is awesome.
First time in Europe, by the way. And I was cool. It was in Latvia. That's how I, you know, popped my cherry going to Europe, was going to Latvia.
So again, you can check out the video series from that trip at barstoolsports.com. But Clem, what was the culture over there like? How do you compare it to life in New York?
You know, I mean, so if you check out the video, we had some fun and, you know, we played up the whole fish out of water thing. But to be honest with you, it really wasn't as crazy as I thought it was going to be, or as like scary. Like there was two different Latvias in my mind before I went over. One was like black and white, Cold War remnants, Soviet Union Latvia.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one was everyone wearing lederhosen, and it's like a fantasy world. Like, you know when Homer is chasing the chocolate dogs and,
yes,
and all that stuff? That was what was in my mind as the other Latvia. That was the one I was obviously hoping for, chocolate creatures running around that I could eat. It was neither, though. It was kind of like going to, like, Canada. I don't know if you guys ever go all the way up to Canada. But, like, it's like you feel like you're in another country, but it's not too bad. It's nowhere I'd want to get stuck or lost, but it's nowhere I'd fear for my life if I got lost or stuck.
Now, I'm allowed to ask this because you're married, Clam. Bo's married, but I'm single. So, you know, for the aspiring single traveler out there, what's the female situation like over there in Latvia?
Females in Latvia are beautiful, absolutely stunning. They're like known for being like one of the best looking, you know, countries for in terms of their women. I also on my video, if you check it out, I did meet a pimp who I thought at first was a really ugly Latvian woman because he was wearing a mink coat and shorts at about 3 a.m. in a snowstorm. But it turned out he was a pimp. So I think there are a few loose women over there. Apparently it's a big bachelor party destination for even Americans, which was crazy. But I'll tell you, man, I was in JFK. I was in the international terminal. And again, I've never been to Europe before. And it was just a ton of – we flew to Russia first and then Latvia. And there was just a ton of Russians, which is obviously like their neighbors. I mean, just stunning. So if you're looking to get the wheels in motion to finding a Mrs. Sean, I think Latvia wouldn't be a bad choice for you. They know me over there. Just say you know Clem. It's all good.
You know, you mentioned that pimp. I was laughing at that guy. I was like, oh man, this guy's making a joke. And then as he kept talking, I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure he's dead serious.
Yeah, it didn't even sink into me until literally when we got back in the States and we put the video up and someone's like, yeah, that was a pimp. And I'm like, oh crap, that definitely was a pimp. Like, I'm just so stupid and like happy go lucky. Like, I'm from New York, but I'm from the suburbs of New York, and I'm like gullible as the next guy. I'm just a big dumb idiot. So, I definitely could have like been talking to someone and like negotiating a purchase for the guy, and he would have actually gotten me a girl.
So, what was the conversion like over there? Is that a cheap place for an American to go?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that expensive. I think it was the flights. So this is the thing here. So I was like, so again, my boss basically is like, just go over. I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So what I did was I booked a flight, but I was like shortest duration, you know, one stop or whatever. It was like $600 each way. Little did I know, the flight I took there was Aerofloat, which, as all the Latvians told me when they asked what I flew, that's what Syria loves to shoot down. That's why they were so cheap. So $600 to get there, about $600 back. When I got to the airline to go back, it was Air Uzbekistan, which I didn't even know was a country until – I thought it was from Borat country. Ooh, yeah. You know what I mean? But everything else is like, yeah, the hotel I think was like – $50 a night, and it was a nice enough hotel, and everything else over there. I mean, it's the euro. They don't have Latvian money, which I kind of wanted to have like Latvian dollars, just because it's like fake Monopoly money. But there was actually euros over there.
All right, Clem. Here I go. Speaking for a majority of America, we're gonna get right down to brass tacks. When I travel abroad, or anybody travels to a foreign country, number one, how are the beer and the liquor, and number two, what's the drug that everybody's trying to offer you when you leave your hotel?
The beer was good. We only went out one, and this was another thing. So I planned it out where I was trying to go from Tuesday to Sunday, and being the idiot that I am, I didn't realize I was flying against time zones. So we lost a full day flying from Tuesday to Wednesday, and then like getting all stuff. So we only got to go out one night. And the beer there was pretty good. I don't even know if it was a Latvian beer. I was just – they speak – Latvian is their first language. Russian is their second. But all the young kids, they take two classes a week in English. So from what I could tell, I was drinking some sort of Latvian beer, but I have no idea. But it was really good. I really enjoyed it. The liquor is some black Regis something or other. It was kind of like – it was almost like a Jaegerish kind of a liquor, which was cool.
Okay.
And the drug of choice, believe it or not, I was not offered any drugs really. I had one kid tell me that if I smoked enough pot – I asked him if I could find a unicorn because he needed Cole Porzingis the unicorn. And he said, if I smoked enough weed, I could probably see unicorns.
There you go.
So it resulted in some funny videos, but did you actually learn anything while you were over there?
I learned that – if I look into the eyes of a man that's speaking Russian and looks like he used to be a soldier, I will probably piss my pants. That happened a few times. And it's always like, it's always sunny in Philadelphia. It's always snowy in Latvia. Okay. Everywhere we went was just snow, man. It was rough.
Ugh. If you follow Clem on Twitter at the Clem Report, long enough, you'll note that Clem is a patriot. Clem has American flags all over his, you know, decorating outside in his house. he's a patriot. You know, did this trip make you realize how much better the United States is to live in than a country like Latvia?
It didn't make me realize anything. It just drove the point home. America's the best country in the world.
Sure.
We're undefeated in awesomeness.
That's it. I like that. Undefeated in awesomeness. And you know, when they do those international like internet polls, it seems the rest of the world agrees. They usually pick us, you know, one or two as coolest country. So, you know, that's good to know. And the fact that it's snowing all the time, it lets you know that your boy's going to be riding home in New York for a while.
He's fine here, man. And I actually said to the at one point I met with the Latvian Basketball Federation, which was literally the size of, I mean, I'm trying to think of it. It was like one small office room. It was like the size of, you guys watch The Office?
Yes.
It's like from where Jim sat to like where Andy sat. Like that was the entire, it was 14 people, had a couple cubes, a desk, and then like a conference room inside of it, like cut out. Oh, and that was the entire Latvian Basketball Association. But I asked them, I said, you know, Latvian women, blah, blah, blah. And they said, oh yeah, the Latvian women here are very pretty. Porzingis will be right at home in New York. You don't have to worry about him falling into the typical traps that most athletes fall into when they're in New York City.
It's true. Yeah, he's at an advantage there. He's used to it. And finally, before we get off Latvia, I know the food situation was a little questionable over there. Worst thing you had to eat, and what was the first thing you dined on once you got back home?
The worst thing I ate over there was so I went over with Hank, who's the Barstool cameraman. He's a pretty picky eater. I'm a pretty picky eater. The worst thing I ate over there was, so we stayed pretty much close to American food as much as we could. Went to TGI Fridays one night. We went to Mickey D's. And like Mickey D's, it was pretty much the same. But if you had the sweet and sour sauce for McNuggets, it was like they used like garbage water, basically. that was the closest way to describe it. It was the grossest thing I've ever had in my life. And it got to the point where Hank, he couldn't eat anything. Like anything he ate, he like literally spit out of his mouth the minute he like it touched his tongue. So we had to get him three different kind of peanut butters and three different kind of jellies and a loaf of bread from the grocery store. And that's literally all he ate. The first thing I ate when I got home was a nice burger and fries, there, man. Right from my go-to burger joint. I mean, you all got to have your own burger joints, right? Your go-tos.
Yeah,
so I went to my go-to right away, and I got that and a slice of pizza. Those were the two first things. Like, they had pizza in a lot of the places over there, and I was like, there is no way I'm touching this stuff.
Which is strange, because they're closer to Italy than we are, but yeah. I probably wouldn't eat the pizza in Latvia either.
That is, you know what? If I was hungry enough or drunk enough, I would have been able to talk myself into pizza saying that exact thing. But I was not even thinking. That's a great point there, Sean.
So let's move on to this week's topics. Starting off with the UFC, had UFC 196 over the weekend, which featured a couple of monumental upsets. First of all, we had Miesha Tate defeating Holly Holm in pretty stunning fashion in the fifth round via rear naked choke. And Clem, you know that we're here in Albuquerque. Holly Holm is absolutely probably the biggest celebrity in Albuquerque over the last year or so. The sense of despair, disappointment is palpable here in town, but people still have Holly Holm's back seemingly. And, you know, I think she's kind of a throwback fighter in that she's more into martial arts and boxing as a sport and kind of doing it for the right reasons, as opposed to maybe a Ronda Rousey. Like, I don't see a Holly Holm wanting to be a movie star. So I think one loss, she'll be back. She's had losses in her past. I think she's going to come back. The weird thing though about UFC right now is we had Rousey lose to Holm. Now we have McGregor lose, two of the biggest stars in the fight game. And, you know, kind of the generic topic that I'm sure you've heard, Clem, on all the sports talk this week has been, was that good for the UFC or was that bad for the UFC? And I think what we kind of have to note at this point in time with the maturity of MMA in general is that the UFC is at a point where it's bigger than any one fighter. Yep. Like, as long as people are buying the card, as long as, you know, folks like us are talking about the sport, it really doesn't matter. I mean, it's all going to get shuffled around. There's a lot more parity in UFC than I think we're led to believe. You know, I think the fighters aren't that far off in skill once you get to that level. So what we see in the fight game is a lot of PR. You know, it's a lot of public relations. It's a lot of hype.
Dana White's latest interview, he was chuckling at that notion. He remembers the first time he was asked, oh, my gosh, what are you going to do after Chuck Liddell? Oh, what are you going to do after Anderson Silva? And he's quoting that. And I'm laughing. I'm thinking, I remember being that guy at the party telling everybody, oh, this sport won't make it when he's gone. No, there's always going to be a new fighter. And we're here right now. And it's just beautiful to watch. And Nate Diaz doing what he did. I love that. I watched the replay multiple times.
Yeah, let's talk about that Diaz fight. It was surprising, but at the same time, you know, if I was going to say Diaz is going to win this fight, now let's try to figure out how, that's about the blueprint that I would have expected. And, you know, for a casual UFC or MMA or even boxing fan, that fight was the reason why you don't judge a fight by how the fighters look at the end of the fight.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Diaz, his face is all cut up. He's gushing blood. The guy just has kind of a naughty face, you know? I mean, if you have a lot of scar tissue on your face, you know, if you have cheekbones and a forehead that protrudes a little bit, you're just going to bleed a little bit more than the next guy, right?
Yeah, I agree.
And then, I'm sorry.
If you ain't bleeding, you ain't trying.
Yeah, it just goes with it. And honestly, you know, if I think it's more intimidating to have a guy whose face is just, it looks like it was painted with a red paintbrush, who's still coming at you. It's like that guy just absorbed all your best shots and he's still trying to kick your ass. Yeah, that's a little scary.
Now tell me this though, because I think I represent on this show, casual UFC fan. I'm not really on the websites or looking to see what the fighters are doing in between the main pay-per-view events. It's more of an excuse to put the kids to bed early on a Saturday and daddy drink some beer, eat some wings, and stay up late.
Oh, you need an excuse for that.
You know, it's a reason. Anyway, when I look at this, tell me, Conor McGregor was fighting up, right?
Yeah, 170.
Because someone else stepped out or got hurt before the fight.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
RDA broke his foot.
I see this time and time again when I'm watching as the casual fan and Joe Rogan's explaining this to me, what happened. This is the setup every time. And you look at what happened to Conor McGregor, people are going to take shots because obviously he's the type of guy who's not afraid to let us know how great he is or how he feels about himself. But really, to me, it doesn't do anything to blemish Conor McGregor.
Yeah, he still has the belt at 145.
Yeah.
And he's still going to fight at 155 too. So if anything, it might have slowed down his kind of quest for UFC domination. Like, he had these grandiose notions that he was just going to start going through the different weight divisions and beating everybody. And it's like, no.
Calm down.
Your punches might be very, very powerful against other 145-pound fighters. Mm-hmm. But it might not have the same power at 170 just because they're used to more strength.
Yeah, yeah. I used to do that when I was playing college football. I would go and spar with this guy who's a jiu-jitsu amateur fighter because he was a little guy. He could wail on me all day, and I wouldn't feel that. I mean, I was over there blocking 320-pound guys that were bench pressing a house. So that was just fun to me. That was an extra workout. But what I see, you know, onto the most important side story that happened after the UFC defeated Conor McGregor is his boy Bieber.
Yeah,
I jumping, saw that. You know, talking about, you know, he's still the man or whatever. And I understand that. It took me a while to say, well, why does Bieber even care? Well, yeah. You know, when you know what's going on, the last guy had to step out because of an injury and he's fighting up two weight classes. I don't know. That's just like the little guy at school fighting the big guy. And if he can stay up for two rounds and take a few punches, everybody respects him for it.
And by the way, him moving up isn't like – that's not some random thing that happened. It's not like that's a disadvantage for Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor was calling the shot there.
Yeah.
He could have fought somebody at whatever weight he wanted to. In fact, the rumor was that Diaz actually wanted to fight at 165 instead of 170. And Conor was like, nah, let's do it at 170. So – you know, I really think that maybe McGregor overestimated his ability a little bit. But back to Bieber. Yeah, mm-hmm. Bieber had said after the fight that Diaz's style was terrible. And Nate Diaz got on his Instagram last night and posted a little cartoon of Bieber telling him, Nate, your style is terrible. And Diaz smacking him and saying, shut your bitch ass up.
There you go.
The biggest problem for McGregor, as again, I'm a casual fan, just like Bo. And I mean, like he said, like one loss on a different weight class. And, you know, it was kind of just like the way it all came together. It's not like he got his ass kicked. But he did get, you know, the MJ crying memes were just flowing. You can only get MJ crying memes so many times before I see you and associate you with that. And I'm like, that guy's a loser now. So it's happened once. I can look past it. But now those crying memes, I got Ireland with the Jordan meme. I got him getting choked out with the Jordan meme. That's not a good look for a champion.
By the way, the shelf life for the Jordan meme has to be getting close, right?
After that fight and the Holly Holm fight, because it was like two big fights the same night, they both got memed so many times that I said, I think we've officially reached the point. I just wanted to get past the Super Bowl. And now that we're past it, I'm basically, and I love it. If you see him on Twitter, I use it all the time myself. I use it on Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz the other day when he had the spit on his mouth or the food. I turned that into the Jordan meme. And even I was like, you know what? We're almost done here. So we'll see if it makes it through March Madness. Cause that's kind of this is the big barometer. This is the biggest event of the month, obviously. After this, I'm fine retiring it, putting it up in the rafters. But I feel like it's just going to be one of those things that's just going to be beaten to death.
Oh, yeah. I probably shouldn't admit this on a podcast, but before like the presidential campaign went into full swing, every time I would see any kind of quote from Marco Rubio, I would get so confused. Mm-hmm. Be like, what the hell is this basketball player doing talking about immigration? Like, does he have some unique perspective I don't know about? No, totally different person. I'm just an idiot.
That's awesome. At least it makes sense with immigration, though. Like, why is Ricky Rubio talking? Like, if it's like, why is Donald Trump calling out Ricky Rubio? Now that could get confusing.
So in terms of UFC, looking into the future, we have a couple of kind of lackluster fight nights coming up. And then we have UFC 197, which I'm really looking forward to. That's going to feature the return of John Bones Jones, who's going to fight Daniel Cormier. Assuming Jones doesn't get popped for some recreational drug use, which is...
Told you, I seen him at the casino a few weeks ago when I was out there. Apparently, we both made it home that night. That was some fun. It was just interesting to see how much love they get in New Mexico. And it just, you know, all I got to say to John Bones and anybody else who's here and enjoying the freedom of the desert of the Wild West, just make sure y'all pay them taxes because all that protection could go away real quick. I know what y'all up to out there at the casino. I see you.
Probably the other biggest story in the world of sports and entertainment this week was the settlement that Aaron Andrews got, awarded $55 million from Marriott and I guess the Peeping Tom that actually was doing the spying. A couple different things about this story. You got a lot of people saying, it's not that big of a win for Aaron Andrews because you probably won't be seeing all that money because this guy's a broke ass anyway, and it's just going to be basically 50% of the award that she got is actually going to be paid out. You know, the money that the Marriott's responsible for. Yeah. So is that fair, or does it matter one way or another? Like the fact that she won this case, got an award, I mean, that's kind of enough, isn't it? That sends a message, correct? I mean, am I wrong here? Does it matter if she gets $20 million or all the $55 million? Because I had heard, you know, big-time attorneys like Mark Garagus who thought that she was only going to be getting $1.5 million. So yeah, this is all icing on the cake as far as I'm concerned.
The thing I was saying when you sent me the message saying she got $55 million, I'm like, wow. And I started thinking about law and how that works. Basically, are there going to be lawyers now? Just trolling and sending out. We're going to see late night ads when we come home with our Taco Bell. Were your photos put on the internet, on this website, you know, whatever, Pornhub, you name it? Because
I don't know what that is, Bo.
Yeah, I have no idea. Are they going? Is this going to set a precedent now? Is it going to be, is Aaron Andrews going to be the landmark case that opened up the door for a whole lot of other women to start going after the websites, going after whoever else is doing this? Because we know not everything, I mean, golly, there is a whole thing on the internet basically of people doing this. It's a whole section. So what happened to Aaron Andrews has happened to 10 million women already. The only difference is she has the juice of networks behind her. There's a lot of other young ladies that this has happened to. So she gets 25 million. It is what it is. I think for me, if I want to see any good come from this case, it needs to open up the door for all the other girls, because I don't even have a daughter. But I tell you what, if I had a daughter and that ever happened, it'd be like, what's his name? Samuel L. Jackson in A Time to Kill. I'd be waiting outside of the high school. They'd be like, did you hear what Bo did today? Yeah, he's getting 25 to life. Well, you don't mess with my daughter. That's it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I agree 100% with Bo. I mean, again, like, I if I have a daughter, if that happened to my daughter, she would need that money because I'd need the bail money for the murder that I just committed.
We need to resurrect Cochran.
Oh, Johnny boy. Oh, man. God, the People versus OJ. God, that has me. And I just love the Johnny Cochran, every single one.
I got to catch up.
But the real thing about it, the Aaron Andrews thing, I mean, obviously I know she's down to like 1.5 or 5 million, whatever. In the end, it's like the Marriott people that I'm happy they're the ones who get nailed, because if they, by not protecting her like privacy or whatever, allowing that guy to do the peephole, though, that will then stop future people from potentially allowing that negligence to happen, because you just can't do that, man. Yeah. Like, it's not even a dollars and cents thing. Like, it's just a privacy thing. Like, and you know, if you're fine going on camera and having it done to you and making $5 million, God bless you. But you know, $5 million, that's, you know, that's, for Erin Andrews, she wasn't making like, you know, $30,000 a year at ESPN. Right. She was already making decent money. Like, that payday doesn't mean as much to her as it would for someone who like needs the money and doesn't mind having their body out there. So fuck Marriott, man.
I got two more things to add on that. First of which is, and you see this all the time, Clem, but like, I don't know how many times I read the joke on Twitter yesterday of, oh, I would have done it for half that money. I'll pose naked for, you know, it's like, A, nobody wants to see you naked. B, she didn't have a choice. And that's kind of the crux of what that settlement came down to. But, you know, the one thing, and I don't want to get myself in any trouble here, but the one thing that I did find a little bit interesting about this is, like, she was claiming that this video coming out kind of ruined her image. You know, it was completely embarrassing, you know, that all these people saw it. I can't think of another nude celebrity or sex tape or anything of that sort on the internet that disappeared as quickly as that Aaron Andrews peephole video.
And that's what I'm saying.
I'm not asking you guys if you saw the video. I'll just say I defy you to go online right now and try to find it, because you can't.
No, and that's what I was getting at. And let me go back here. What I'm trying to say is there was an Interpol investigation. I'm always into the crime stuff going on. Some syndicate was literally, they had figured out a way to hack in to servers all across Russia and Europe, and they were able to get into the cameras that are used to keep people safe inside of bathhouses. Really? Like, and they were broadcasting this on the internet. Interpol finally catches up with them, shuts it down. But here's my problem. We all know about internet glory. We all want to be the guys who made Napster and made money overnight. Someone was receiving ad money. Someone was getting something. They made that money overnight. They disappeared. They used that video for downloads or whatever. And there's nothing to be said for it. And that's what upsets me is Aaron Andrews going to open up the door for, you know, because we all know that's how the government and the feds and everybody works. If they think there's money at the end of it, they'll start prosecuting these cases. They'll start diving into it, because, like I said, there's a whole lot of young women out there that have had their lives ruined because some website was willing to put a picture or put a video up and not do their checks to find out if that was the two individuals consenting to do it. And that's the problem with the internet. There's a lot of good, but, man, there's a lot of people that I know that are like, man, you know, I can't work there. I can't apply for that management position. Why? Put my name in Google. You're like, oh, no. Yeah, you better lay low.
us men suck, man. We're just a bunch of just horny, dumb creatures. I swear to God. And it's like every single way just to see the pretty girl nude, man. It's crazy.
Some of us have restraint, Clem. Some of us have restraint. My mom was a computer programmer. I could have locked myself in the garage with all her equipment and learned how to do that stuff myself, but I didn't. I did like every other guy, and I walked up to girls at the middle school dance, nervous as hell, and I said, "Would you like to dance with me?" You know, sweating.
You can't see this right now, Clem, but I'm actually handing Bo a trophy. Wow, way to go, Bo!
Thank you. I talked to a girl. It was amazing.
Happy International Women's Day, everybody.
Yes, that's right. That was yesterday.
So this is somewhat related. We also have a lawsuit involving Hulk Hogan, who is seeking $100 million in damages based on this. And this was years back. This was, I want to say, like 2006 or thereabouts, when this video surfaced of him having sex with some woman who he came to find out, and I didn't know this at the time, was the wife of I don't think he's quite as big as he was like in the late 90s, but Bubba the Love Sponge, which is like a big kind of shock jock personality, his wife. That's who it was in this video. Ooh. And apparently he or somebody in his camp was the one that leaked this video, and I think Gawker, is that right, Clem? Gawker is the one being sued. And a couple of disturbing things about this. One, Bubba the Love Sponge's last name is Clem. So every time I read an article about this, I have the worst mental images running through my head. You know, I have to get offline and look at pictures of puppies and stuff like that just to feel normal again. So there's that. And not to make any light of this, because, you know, I'm sure it is kind of damning for somebody like Hulk Hogan, who's I can't speak for you guys, but definitely a childhood hero when I was a little kid.
Heck yeah.
You know, it's got to be bad for him. And not to make light of it, but I see this picture of Hulk Hogan in the courtroom, and the thing that my mind immediately jumps to, I have the picture on the screen here, Bo, if you'll look. You ever wear an outfit that's all black and you have like, you know, part of your outfit is like a weird color of black and it doesn't match?
Yeah.
Not the case for Hulk Hogan. You look at that do-rag and you look at that shirt. There is a stylist somewhere
that's making that.
That made that happen.
I wish I had that stylist. That is awesome.
They're looking at swatches with do-rags and shirts. Okay, Mr. Hogan, this is for your court appearance tomorrow. This is your dressy do-rag.
They were upset when Tupac died. That was their other customer. Oh, you like the do-rag and shirt matching technique. Golly, these guys. You know, okay, so I'm just going to get it out there. Like Peter Griffin in one of my favorite episodes of Family Guy, when the world was ending, and he went into the ghetto to yell the N-word, and nobody reacted. They gave him a pass and awarded him king of black people for a day.
Yeah, gave him a scepter and a crown.
Exactly. The same thing happened with Hulk Hogan. When I talk to brothers around the country, nobody's hanging on to that because he got a ghetto pass. You know, I actually got my kids some Hulk Hogan toys for Christmas this year. So we're still loving him in our community. And the one thing that, you know, jumping back to the Aaron Andrews, where does it stop? And this keeps going. You see the direction we're going. We still have to talk about Brock Osweiler. Who gets privacy and when do they get it? And now Apple wants to send me something and tell me the government wants to look at myself. So who gets privacy? I don't know anymore. And which one of these cases is going to define that? I don't know, because they're all being settled in, you know, like small claims court. Which one's going to challenge someone and take it to the top level? Because I'm tired of it. Everybody's filming everybody, and there's really no medium. There should be like a website you have to go to, and then they check your video before you upload it, because it's just getting ridiculous. I don't feel safe anymore. If I made money, I know that I'm probably going to end up on somebody's video. Because I like to have a good time. It's just that nobody cares about me now. Ugh.
Like I said, Hulk Hogan, he's going for $100 million. So I'll ask each of you guys this question. Aaron Andrew got $55 million, as we established. If Hulkster does win this, what settlement is he looking at? I've got a number in mind. Think it over for a second. I'm saying that Hulk Hogan gets no more than $5 million. Glam?
Is this after the lawyer fees and all that stuff? Is that what you're saying? Or is he saying
no, just the actual, you know, the whatever the court award. So before all that gets taken.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Gotcha. I'll say it's definitely gonna be much lower than the 100 or whatever it is. I'll say like 15, just cause it seems like it's a much different, I know the whole thing was whether or not he knew that there was a, it was recording in there and it's another guy's wife and it got all set up. It's just like a, it's like you said, it's a wacky story and you have to take a shower after you're done reading it. And especially when it says Clem's wife did this, Clem's wife did that. And my wife even said to me, because someone tweeted me the other day, said, Clem, what is your wife doing with Hulk Hogan? And it's like, she's like, what is that supposed to mean? I'm like, oh, don't worry about it.
That's hilarious. Hey, but the one thing I was going to remind you guys of, this tape ultimately led to the WWE distancing themselves from him. So if he's factoring in WWE money, this could be around that.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair, though, to say, you know, that the main question is whether he knew he was being recorded. I'd like to think we live in a country where you can make really freaky recordings of you and whoever you want to if everybody's a consenting adult. And if somebody, you know, does steal it, does leak it, then you have some recourse. You know, just because he made the tape doesn't mean that it's right for Gawker to put it out there on the internet, right?
Yeah. And that's what I say. We have to respect these laws. I mean, you got to know the state you're in. Every state has different laws. But, you know, if I'm in a state, because I'm one of them brothers that likes to know these types of things, where the state tells me, hey, they need to let you know that they're recording you in a conversation like this. They can't just come in your house and do blah, blah, blah. And that's nice that we have to all follow these rules, whether you're Gawker, the state police, the DEA. It doesn't matter. You need to follow these rules. That's what this country, you talk about being a patriot. Well, you know, sometimes we need to turn around and make sure that those that are set, these rules that are set forth to protect us are really protecting us and not all setting us up to be a bunch of idiots like Hulk Hogan with a do-rag and a black suit and a Jesus Christ symbol with his hands in the air in the witness stand. That's not what I envision for the golden years of one of my childhood idols. Right now, he should be telling me about arthritis medication and what diet drinks to take, not trying to defend himself in court. It's too much.
Now, the thing is, though, you said rules and laws.
Yeah.
I think, did this happen in Florida?
I would assume so, because yeah, that's where Bubba Love Sponge is from. So I'm
I don't think that there are rules and laws actually in Florida. I think that's why people move to Florida, is they just want like the Wild West in the 2016 version. So he's like, you know what? Like, we could definitely tape some sex tapes here and just give them away. But I agree. I'm with you, Bo. Like, Hulk Hogan wasn't a childhood hero of mine. He was the childhood hero of mine. And it like breaks my heart that this is where he's at now. I want the orange, I want the red and the yellow. Yep. Eat your vitamins, take your tenactin, do whatever you got to do. And instead we're just getting like Bubba the Love Sponge's wife. Ugh, gross.
Clem, I don't think you know this, but Bo actually used to own a Hulkamaniac shirt that he would wear around campus.
Yeah. I took that thing everywhere with me. And what's the craziest thing about it, Clem, is it fit me from the time I was like 7 until I played college football. That is just horrible. America, we need to review what we're putting in the chicken.
Please tell me you still have that shirt somewhere.
It's somewhere in the closet. We were talking about, I need to get that thing out. We should tweet a photo.
Yeah, once Hulk gets his payday, you got to tweet out the photo and being like, been with you since day one, brother.
We got for Christmas, we had to get new WWE championship belts. That's how intense this gets in my house. Like, when me and my son play Madden, it's for a championship belt. Everything's for a championship belt. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. And do you go with like the old school one with the eagle and stuff? Or you go with the spinners, the new ones, all that kind
of
stuff?
Now, see, that's I'm glad you brought that up.
It's a point of contention.
No, I do not like the spinner. I do not approve of that belt. I do the WWE, but I would love to get an old school WWF. I would love to find one of those.
I found one. It's not like it's like a toy. It's like the $25 version, though. I don't know if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Or if you go, yeah, I'll look into where I got mine, because I have one downstairs. I won fantasy baseball. I bought myself a belt afterwards because that's just how I had a role for that.
Yeah. Not to put your business out there. I don't know how old your kids are, but my kids are old enough to understand that those belts can be used as weapons. So I do not invest in the heavy ones, because they will turn around and hit you in the head to try and knock you out with it. They wrestle. They love it. They love it.
Switching gears a little bit, let's talk some NFL. We had two legends announce their retirement, one of which we definitely knew was coming, Peyton Manning. So let's start there with the presser that he gave. Clem, were you at all surprised that he didn't get a little bit more heat about the situation that happened with him and the trainer in college and the HGH stuff that came out recently? Are you at all surprised that the media wasn't a little bit harder on him for those stories and that really he only got asked one question about it?
I'm not surprised by it because, I mean, it was as if Peyton Manning like got elected president and died. That's the way ESPN covered that. You know, I think it's still a breaking news with the red alert on the bottom line saying he retired yesterday. I'm surprised by the people who are giving people crap for wanting to bring it up or asking the question. Mm-hmm. It was a very fair question, in my opinion. Sure. And it's something I wanted to have asked to him. And granted, you don't need to linger on it. You ask a question, you move on. The way he reacted to it was crazy with the Forrest Gump quote. But, you know, the Mannings, his whole life, you know, you're Archie's son. He owns Louisiana. You grew up your whole life. Then you become Peyton Manning, who was like bigger than Archie, who's definitely bigger than Archie. And you're like, the Peyton Manning brand is like one of the probably the top, if it was traded on Wall Street, it'd be like one of the top 10 stocks in America, you know? Yeah. So, of course, he just was able to just brush it off. But,
yeah, that Forrest Gump response was really, really weird. Like, you know, that wasn't just spur of the moment. Like, he had that planned out. Like, okay, if I get asked about teabagging a trainer, I'm gonna deflect it with this beloved movie quote. It's just bizarre.
It's unreal. And it's like so Peyton though. Like when you really peel back the layers of Peyton Manning, it really is like you realize he's probably a robot. Like it's like the Budweiser thing at the Super Bowl and all the commercials he's done. It's like, and then his whole pre-snap and just the way he is. Like Peyton Manning isn't a regular human.
No.
And because like he's been so good at football, no one's really just been like, wait a minute, he's not a normal person.
Yeah, I always envisioned Peyton Manning the type of guy that would read the Warren Commission report and the findings of the 9/11 report, and he would just automatically take them as truth. And if you tried to question anything that you read or what about the pages that they tore out, he would just look at you like you're an idiot because he believes everything he's told. I don't know. I don't like the guy.
What do you guys think he's going to do? You know, to me, it seems pretty obvious. Like he was a coach that was a player his entire career, basically. So I think the obvious progression for his career is to get into coaching. Would you see him as more of a media analyst type or just making Papa John commercials? What do you think he's going to do?
Oh, he's 100% going into the media, in my opinion.
Really?
Oh, yeah, 100%. He basically, I imagine, could choose the position he could have, or the network, I should say. I don't know if he would do, like, play-by-play. I don't think he would do play-by-play. I see him being, like, a studio guy, you know? This is me personally. I don't see him. I heard people say if he wanted to be coach, obviously, with all that pre-snap reads and all that stuff, he has, like, the mind for it, they say. But that's a grind, man. I think Peyton kind of wants to chill out a little. He could probably – I imagine he's more of a dollars and cents and bottom line kind of guy. And at this point he said, you know, I'll make more money probably being in a studio in New York 16 times a year plus playoffs or, you know, 17 times a year plus playoffs. And then Papa John's and Nike and Gatorade and Sprint, yada, yada, yada. So yeah, 100%.
No, I agree with what you were saying earlier about the whole New Orleans, you know, favorite son. Basically, I look at how the Mannings have set up their family. It's almost like their business model. And for Peyton, it's time to raise the kids. You know, you made your money, you won your Super Bowls. Now it's time for you to bring along the next generation.
Get the next crop of Manning quarterbacks.
That's it. Yeah. Or Manning cheerleaders or front office executives, whatever his daughters or sons decide to be with daddy's money and connections. But, you know, the whole thing about the network, I was saying, you know, I was agreeing with you there, but I keep thinking about Peyton, have you guys ever really just went back to the interviews and just listened? That's why he always turned me off. Like some people, he's funny on Saturday Night Live because I'm not laughing with him. I'm laughing at him. Like when I see him do something, it's just weird. He's out of place. And I just think his attention to detail, the way that he would present it, it would almost be too serious in nature. Like we've grown accustomed to getting the laughs from the Michael Irvins, you know, those types. We get the Teddy Bruschi's, who has a hard enough time remembering the last three words of the sentence he's going to. Like, Teddy Bruschi's CTE development on ESPN, it'll be a case study for med students in the neurology center one day. I'm telling you, I've watched this guy since he started with ESPN. Okay, he gets through two sentences. Now he's down to the first three words of that sentence. And he's like, what? He's stuttering. So Peyton, I don't think he'll be that successful. If he does do it, like everybody's projecting, I think he tarnishes some of that fun, loving legacy. The best thing for Peyton is promote products, go be down in the South, find you a high school that'll let you be around kids there, and show up on SNL and do skits with Will Ferrell for fun. That's all he can do for us. I don't think there's anything else.
The other retirement news, this one did surprise me, although the rumor's kind of been going around for a while. That is Calvin Johnson, Megatron, calling it quits. What do you make of this, Bo? Do you think that this is going to be the beginning of things to come, or we're going to see players, instead of trying to milk a few more years out of their career and getting a few extra $1 million in the bank, actually calling it quits before they get to that level where CTE and hip and knee problems are getting to a point where it's going to affect the rest of their life and their quality of life?
Okay, so this is where I go. Not out of trying to lose a majority of Americans by getting philosophical, because obviously philosophy is under attack in our country. I looked at just basically the regions and the teams that have our NFL players that we love to watch on Sunday. And I'm telling you, a couple generations in, myself, in my 30s, Detroit has not only ate up the automotive industry, it's now ruined Barry Sanders and Megatron. And I'm like, no, it is. It's funny the first time you think about it, Clint, but then you start looking at other NFL franchises and you start looking at America and you're saying, wow, when an area is booming or it's prosper, it's new, it's a boom town, Dallas, they're hot.
Yeah, no, that's funny you mentioned that, because on Jim Rome today, somebody was referring to Detroit as the factory of sadness.
Oh, for real? So I'm not the only one that had this thought.
Yeah, you made Barry Sanders hate football. Now you've destroyed Megatron.
Yeah, and I thought about the Joe Montanas and the Steve Youngs and Jerry Rice, how much they love this game. And when they talk, they're like, oh, this is so beautiful. Well, think about this. You get into your Porsche 911 or your SL500 and you're driving to your mansion. It's a lot easier to do that when you're cruising past the vineyards in California. But when you're doing that in Detroit and you're going past concrete barrier after concrete barrier and police blockade after police blockade, that's got to wear on you. I mean, after about a decade, you would be like, I got to get out of here. I need to go somewhere else. And I think Detroit is now just known as the NFL franchise where people, good careers will just go to die. It won't exist there.
I think the one thing that you got to be worried about, Clem, is I think such a big marquee receiver like Megatron, kind of calling it quits before his body really forces him to do so, is that I think that this is going to be a bargaining chip for other marquee wide receivers, for example, Odell Beckham, where they're going to be able to negotiate those second and third deals in their career for bigger money than they used to be able to, because now there's the threat that, hey, you know what? I might just say screw football.
I mean, that's just life with Odell Beckham. I could tell you you're going to have a guy that might be a little bit of a handful, and obviously he's cocky and he earned it because he's awesome. But this is going to be, we already dealt with it with JPP, and now we're dealing with Odell Beckham, where it's like this guy's going to be a little tough to rein in. So I'm basically ready for whatever comes up. And I think today or yesterday, if Peyton Manning was drafted by the Lions, he would have retired in 2003, and his career would have been over after 6 years. That's just the way that their lives go. And don't the factory of sadness, that is Cleveland's title. Don't you dare, Jim Rome, to give that title to Detroit.
It was one of his callers. It wasn't Jim Rome.
Sorry. To the caller, because at least Detroit had the Red Wings, which were awesome, and the Pistons had a run, and the Tigers have been good, and the Lions have obviously been miserable. Cleveland got nothing. They just lose lose and lose. Even when they got LeBron, they lose.
It's that whole Rust Belt. It's not a happy place to be. Pittsburgh, Detroit, Cleveland. I think I'd pretty much rather play anywhere else.
Yeah, like Bo said, you're driving in your new Porsche and you're going past the vineyards in San Francisco. A lot easier than doing it up in the Rust Belt.
Hey, sure. Look, another dilapidated factory.
Oh, wow. I'm seeing more obesity here than I've ever seen in my life. It's amazing.
Hey, check out that sweet shanty town those bums constructed out of cardboard boxes. Awesome.
No, I'm telling you, if I played professional football, any professional sport, making weight for me would be so hard right through there. You're talking about some of the best food in the country.
Tacos?
No, not tacos. I'm talking about everything that you can put gravy on. I mean, even like the fact that there are diners in the Midwest when I go home and they have the meatloaf sandwich on the menu. It's not something I have to create. They made it for me. It's awesome.
Speaking of junk food, Brock Osweiler went to get himself some the other night. I think it was in the early morning hours in Scottsdale, Arizona, at a pizzeria. He got his pizza. I'm sure you guys have seen the video. And then outside of the establishment, there was a little bit of a scuffle that ensued. Let me tell you something. If you ever hear the phrase being uttered, well, he's standing right there. Go tell it to his face. That's nothing happy is going to happen after that gets said.
No.
So you had this woman go after Brock. In the video, it kind of appears that he pushes her away with his forearm. And then I guess the woman's boyfriend or whoever then kind of bum rushed Brock as he was walking to his car to get away, pushed him in the back. And by the way, Bo, is there any weaker move to start a fight than pushing another man
in the back? I know.
That's not what you want to do. Either take a swing or don't. Keep it moving. But I was curious what your guys' take on this was, because it's getting covered. Like, depending on the headline you read, this was either an extremely smart move by Brock to not get into it with these people, or he put his hands on a woman. I mean, how do you see this, Clem?
I mean, that's the hardest thing in the world is when you have a woman acting irrationally towards you, or even if it's both parties going at it. Like, what are you really supposed to do to get a woman away from you? If, you know, like, you can't touch, like, I think that's basically the best you can do is just kind of like shoo her away. And the thing is, if there wasn't video of this, can you imagine what the headlines would be? Because no one would say, oh, Brock just did this. There would be really no side of it. All you would see is Brock pushes woman, and yeah, then that would be a real problem. So
yeah,
thank God
right
there was
that
video for at least people to make up their own minds about it, because we have enough outrage in this world as is. And people, even when there's a video of it, people will just be outraged because they, you know, they won't even watch the video. They'll just see the headline and then just, you know, make up their own conclusions.
No, that's a great point, Clem. In fact, I really can't think of any recent NFL-related video that has actually done something to exonerate an NFL player. Like, usually when a video surfaces, Ray Rice, it's bad. You know, Roger Goodell does not want to see that. You know, I kind of side with Clem in that, you know, if a woman's attacking you, you know, that's pretty much the best case scenario you can do. You know, basically just try to like shove her off without throwing any punches or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, this could have very easily saved Brock Osweiler from a hefty lawsuit, or you know, maybe he doesn't get the same deal that he gets if there's questions about this.
I remember I was taking a low-level law class, my criminology degree, and it was during a time when a teammate of mine was going through a domestic violence issue. It was all in the local papers and even made ESPN's rounds for a day. And I remember thinking to myself at the time, this was obviously long before the whole Ray Rice video, why do I see this? Because when I would do security at concerts, do security at nightclubs, now that I'm older with the family, when I pick up security jobs, I stay away from those scenes. But I just remember when I was around alcohol, it would always be whenever a female was upset with a male at the same party or the same club or whatever, same concert, she would be all fingers and pushing in the chest. And I mean, you would have to get other security guards over there to break this altercation up. But if there were ever two females, oh, there'd be plenty of distance in between the two of them. They'd be calling each other's names, doing a lot of pointing, and you would never really have to escalate to going to intervene as a security guy. You just let it happen because they're just talking trash to each other. You see in our society, you look at arrest rates. We talk all the time, we're the most incarcerated country. Look at about 1995 arrest rates of women in our country, mainly women 17, like 28, they skyrocketed. They continue to do that to this day. And when I see these videos, you can go on YouTube and WorldStar and look at all these videos of women out acting like this. I'm thinking to myself, when did this happen? Like, I don't remember my mom ever doing
that. See, I don't know, Bo. I might slightly disagree with you there, because back in high school, I can remember, like, the most serious drag-out violent fights were always between two chicks.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. They know that they can fight each other, so if it's, like, if there's a size difference between the girls or the one girl respects the other, they'll keep their space. They respect that because they know that another female has no problem grabbing their hair. But they have that buffer of the idea of society behind them when it's like, he's a man. And that's the first thing they would always do to you as a security guard. If that male, just like the guy down at Florida State on the video pushing the girl away from the bar and being aggressive, if that male would ever do anything to push her away or to give himself space, first thing that female would do would turn around to the biggest security guard, which is usually me or my buddy Anthony. Did you see what he did to me? He just pushed a woman. He can't touch a woman. Call the cops. And you're like, ma'am, you were pushing him first, you know. And I see this in these videos, and I say to myself, like, obviously we all know Ray Rice overreacted. But if he would have just stepped back and pushed her into the elevator and hit the button and went the other way, nobody would have cared. It would be over, and he would have finished his career. Brock Osweiler did nothing wrong. I heard Bomani Jones today trying to say, if you're going to make an NFL policy about not putting hands on a woman, Bomani, you're being a little too critical. You need to have something for men to do, or what begins to happen is the only thing left to do is to either run or call the cops. And I don't know about you guys, but when the police are called in domestic violence situations, somebody goes to jail. And we don't need our mothers and daughters going to jail. People need to figure out how to talk to each other again. And that woman was way out of line, and the guy pushing him in the back was way out of line. It's just, it's lost now. It's on TMZ, and we're going to see this video so much, and they're going to talk about it even more. I just hope it doesn't cost him any money, because I agree with you guys. He handled himself well in the situation.
Again, I just want to make it clear to everybody that we are celebrating International Women's Day here at the Sean Bo Show. Yeah, let's move on. You know, before we get off that, I also have to commend Brock Osweiler on his pizza handling skills.
Wow.
Did you notice that, Clem? Like that, he had the death grip on that box of pizza. Guy pushing him in the back, woman trying to punch him in the face. It didn't matter. He was not letting go of that pie, and I got all the respect in the world.
I truly do appreciate it. Mm-hmm. That's a man that you can send out to get pizza and know he's going to take care of business.
All right, so the last thing I do have to say, number one, Brock and every other NFL player out there, most security professionals make $35,000 to $50,000 a year. So scratch off that car, that Escalade, or the rims you wanted to get, whatever you're going to do with that $50,000, and just pay somebody. I am so sick of seeing. Do you guys realize that politicians and CEOs make less money than most of these men? But whenever they go to New York or they go to San Antonio or wherever for their meetings, they hire security, right?
Yep.
So then on top of that, the whip game. Was I the only one that noticed Brock Osweiler was in a minivan? Was that a minivan?
That was from Hertz.
Okay. But still.
It had to have been a rental.
Oh, that is horrible. Oh, that's probably why that happened. That's probably exactly why that old thing happened, because you know how our country rolls. Most people, what's the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode where they're trying to get into the World Series and they push Charlie in front of the Mercedes thinking that guy had money? You know what I'm talking about? If you roll hard, people won't mess with you because they just associate that you got money. The lesson learned, Brock, nothing less than a Beamer for you now on, okay?
Clem, you mentioned it a little bit earlier in passing. JPP, news for your Nub York Giants. 1 year deal. I think, what is he getting? $10 million, Clem?
Yeah, like 10 and a half, I think, is what they're saying.
Do you like this? Does it send the right message to JPP and players that might blow off part of their hands in the future?
It sends a message that we didn't have enough sacks last year and we need someone who can get to the quarterback. JPP, obviously, if he was healthy, it was 100% healthy, which he isn't, but if he would have never made the market if he had 10 fingers and played last year.
So I would hope over time he could maybe talk to Ronnie Lott and other guys who've lost fingers and body parts during football and how to learn how to play with his handicap, his giant club he's going to have or whatever he's going to do. So I was talking myself into guys like Mario Williams, who has a ton of money in the bank and probably not a ton of drive to continue to improve and stay hungry. JPP has a one-year deal. He wants to get paid next offseason. He needs to bring the heat this year. So I'm fine with it. And, you know, if he can tackle NFL players, he has to prove he can tackle NFL players, which is kind of a big deal for defensive ends. But, I mean, you know, like Tony Romo will probably be, you know, he could probably break Tony Romo's collarbone in the first game they play each other. So he doesn't have to worry about him that much. It's just the rest of the guys.
That was a subtle dig at you, Bo. I will say, though,
I hear you.
Your boy, Clem, he's getting a little bit cavalier in recent months about posting pictures online of that disfigured hand. I have seen enough angles of that thing. Please make it stop. No more.
I co-sign, man, because I have to blog that because I know it's a story. And then I have to actually like look into that hand. And then sometimes I'm looking for a picture. So I'll Google images it. And then there's like the fake versions of it, of like some other dude who blew his hand off just in the images. It's a nightmare.
You'll be the first case of PTSD resulting from JPP's hand. Hey, something else I was trying to find out was the reason I was so distracted while you were knocking my Cowboys there is Chubb's first name on Happy Gilmore. I was trying to get an acronym for the organization because obviously we'd have to name it after Chubb's, right? He is the most notable one-handed disfigured athlete.
You're thinking like if JPP opens up a sports bar in New York City?
Oh, gosh, that would be great.
Come on down to Nubby's. We got the best bones in town.
To be fair, it was a magical – that 4th of July, or actually I think it was the 5th of July is when the news leaked. That was a magical day on Twitter. I mean, that was up there with Kanye going crazy at Wiz Khalifa and the whole emoji thing with DeAndre Jordan. Like the amount of memes that just came out and the amount of Chubbs lines and pictures that went out. We're great. So I mean, as Giants fans, it's like we can no one else can make fun of our guy but us. It's like making fun of your mom. Like no one else can make fun of her but her kids.
Yeah, I could see that. But you know, down here we do make fun of you guys quite a bit.
Yeah. Oh yeah, of course. I expect nothing less.
Hey, while we're on the subject of happy New York sports news, I hear your Knicks might get an awesome acquisition next year, Clem. Do you hear anything about this rumor?
No. I just had one of those men in black flashy things and weird. I used it on myself.
It was weird because I could have swore I was on BarstoolSports.com earlier and I saw an article from Clem talking about a Mr. Dwight Howard that has expressed interest in being a New York Knick. You don't know anything about that?
Listen, I want to be a New York Knick too. That doesn't mean anything. Please God, Phil Jackson, that doesn't mean anything. Don't tell me. We cannot, like, I've lived through the Isaiah era, the Marbury era, Larry Brown and Dolan fighting. I lived through Jim Dolan owning this team and running into the ground. The Dwight Howard signing, if it ever happened, could be the thing that actually threw me over the edge.
Hey, you can't have a Phoenix rising unless you have ashes, Clem. You got to burn that sucker down. Bring Dwight in, him and Melo out on the town. What could go wrong?
And he teaches our young 7'3" Latvian god all the terrible ways you can pout and moan and just act like an asshole the entire time. Great, great stuff. Love it.
He would last 10 minutes in New York based on the fact that the photo that was leaked today was hacked out of his iPad sitting in the locker room. I don't know if it was planned or coordinated. Either way, the photo, if that's what he's doing in his downtime in the Houston area, he won't make it 10 minutes on the East Coast. Come on. That guy's soft.
And you know what? That was one of the spots where the Jordan meme was applicable because then it got photoshopped on top of that, and that definitely deserves the Jordan meme, was that Dwight Howard photo.
Yeah.
All right, before we wrap this up, I wanted to talk about this, Clem. You can follow Clem on Twitter, by the way, at TheClemReport, and of course at BarstoolSports.com. It's kind of a sample of what the people, if they don't follow you, if they don't read your blogs and stuff, the kind of content they can expect from you, Clem. You had one of your eliminators today. If you could, I don't think Bo's seen this or anything. So if you can describe, what these kind of blogs are all about and what today's subject was.
Yeah, so the Eliminator is a pretty basic premise. You basically take four items or objects or whatever, people, and you have to eliminate one. Basically wipe it off the earth forever, even pretend it never existed, any of that kind of stuff. And for example, I won't use the one that I use today, but for example, since Bo, I know you're a big food guy, pizza, tacos, wings, or burgers, you got to choose one you have to eliminate off the planet forever. And it sparks a lot of debate.
The face that Bo just made when you said that, Clem, I really wish you were here to see that. You just damn near gave him a heart attack even just thinking about that.
The thought is troubling. It is, because those are the go-to foods when you don't feel like cooking foods you should eat.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you just took away, you know, a Friday or a Sunday in a rush when, oh God, wings, pizza. Ugh. If I had to eliminate, and you know, basically you're treating it like Voldemort, you know, it doesn't even exist. You can't even mention his name or speak of him. I would have to go.
See, you know, it's a good one when one just doesn't immediately come to mind. You have to.
No, you know what I could do without the pain and agony of what chicken wings do to me. They are horrible for you. The heartburn, and we all know the other things that it can do. Let's just scratch the chicken wings. Buffalo, you should have never given us that sauce. Look what you did.
But today's Eliminator,
yeah,
I think is one of my favorite ones that I've seen Clem post. And it's something that I know we're all about the same age. Sweat this, Bo. Wait till you hear this Eliminator.
Okay.
Clam.
All right. So it's Nintendo 64 games. The four games are GoldenEye, Mario Kart 64, Super Mario 64, and Zelda Ocarina of Time.
What you got?
So, like, literally, the Super Mario Kart, the Zelda, and obviously GoldenEye is everyone's youth. That was a 90s, you know, creation. Nothing. Okay. So, you know what? I would have to, if this is now, it would be Zelda, because the GTAs and all the new games, everything else has ruined Zelda for me. Because the maps have gotten larger and the quests have gotten greater.
I'm going to need a clarification from Clem, but I think you have to consider these items in an Eliminator at their prime. Like, about people or songs.
You're talking about in your prime. You can't do without Zelda. It was your break.
Yeah, this is Bo back in the day.
Right? Oh, gosh.
You have no idea, do you?
No, it's got to be Mario Kart.
Really?
It would have to, because GoldenEye would give us the ability to play with friends. Mario Kart can be done without. We can do without Mario. I mean, I know I'd hate to see it go, but you put me out there like that, it'd have to be Mario Kart in that scenario.
Well, it was nice talking to you guys. I will never be talking to Bo ever.
Now, you see, I usually, it's funny because I think Clem and I have a lot of similarities. But I usually find myself disagreeing with his Eliminator choice. Not this time. He got it 100% right. You eliminate Mario World, okay? A, we got this game for free when we bought the damn console. Nobody went out of their way to get that game. Now, this is like the stepchild of N64 games. And, you know, you look at the rest of the games, GoldenEye, I mean, that is the prototypical shooter that, I mean, it is one of the most classic games. You got Mario Kart, which I'm pretty sure caused fist fights or near fist fights in about every neighborhood. And then Zelda is the game that, like, it's the smarter version of Mario World. It's, you know, the single player action, but it was the game that could stump you for a long time, ruin weeks of your summer vacation just because, you know, you couldn't figure out the one world. So you just by virtue of elimination, that you
have dad walking through the house asking why the energy builds up so high. And you're sitting there like, do not go in my room because that Nintendo's been on for 3 days. Oh, man, that brings back so many memories. Kids have no idea of the dedication that it took to destroy a video game on the weekend when you knew you had to be at school on Monday. I look at my son now, and he literally – I stopped doing this because I was getting upset. I don't know how you guys feel about it. But our generation, you need to stop helping your kids get past levels and clear maps. They're not learning anything. Like, it gets them off your case. Like, I was talking to my buddy about it. I was like, yeah, get your son off your case for an hour. But he's coming back and, Dad, I can't. My dad had no idea how to get past anything. If I wanted to see the next level in a game, I had to beat it. And now he has Super Gamer. I'm not trying to, you know, brag on myself, but I can help out, you know.
So for things like that, definitely go to BarstoolSports.com and read all the fine blogs from our buddy Clem and the rest of the great stuff on Barstool, and follow him on Twitter at The Clem Report. Follow us on Twitter at Sean and Bo Show. And until next week, I'm Sean O'Donnell for my co-host Bo Greer and Clem, reminding you, tip your pizza man.
See you next week.